Okay. All right, we have a little bit of technical difficulties. They, of course, have the worst voice. But welcome to our special Village Board meeting. We have changed it from last week to this week, so welcome. I'd ask the clerk. We don't have, unfortunately, I know you do, right? Is that one working?
No, I have no idea.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was just habit.
I know. They're not working. So okay. That's why we have to project loudly, and unfortunately, I have a little worse voice, so bear with me.
So the only microphone in the room is here? Is that
correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but and we are recording, right?
Yes.
Okay. So and we do have Zoom. So other than the microphones, everything else seems to be working except for Bob.
I'm good. Okay. I can fly through this one.
Okay. All right, great. Again, thanks. Welcome. So I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here. Okay, so I ask everyone to stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have any citizens' comments? Thank you. All right. Great. So, Margie?
I am happy to wait until after the Officer of the Year award, if you would like, or I can go now in your choice.
Doesn't matter. I mean, it's up to you. We're going to stay within the 3 to 5 minutes. That would be great.
You'll be recorded.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm Margie Sukander, River Oaks Drive. Thank you. Tonight I want to talk about the budget for 2025. Trustee Vasquez stated at the last meeting his concern about a potential $1 million loss of grocery sales tax revenue. That quote makes it a little more serious about our commercial districting and what we are zoning to bring in more economic development, because we'd have to make it up from commercial property, end quote, or tax residents. President Adusi, Matt Walsh, Finance Director McAdams commented in support of those statements. So you are linking offsetting grocery tax revenue with zoning to bring in more economic development, or threaten to tax residents to bridge the gap. Changing zoning codes into commercial district, TIF districts, would only benefit Village from sales tax revenue, not the bigger pot of money that is property tax revenue held until 2038, or whenever the Village Board decides to release funds to the schools itself and all the taxing bodies. The board is already deficit spending and will again in 2025. I have some suggestions to close the deficit. First, the Madison TIF holds $1.78 million in TIF funds, but owes a little over $2 million, mainly to the general fund, for the $1.8 million in land held for resale. These figures have grown since the last balance sheet of April 2022. The Madison TIF likely will grow by another $400,000 to $900,000 as the fiscal 2025 revenues budgeted are too low. Second, the 2025 budget has $2 million per year for 5 years, for a total of $10 million for lead service line replacement. The state of Illinois gave municipalities until 2042 to replace those lines. Some residents replace them themselves. Spending isn't fully known, doesn't have to advance that fast, so expenses are budgeted too high and should be spread out over a longer time period. Third, personnel services shows increases above budget, 2024 budget, but not above projected. So a 2.5 to 3% increase over projected totals 9.2 to 9.3 million, or $500,000 less than is in the budget. So the 2024 budget was set $500,000 too high, as is the 2025 budget. Fourth, property tax revenue budgeted looks low, as 2024 jumped to $500,000. Fifth, the budget for $1 million for public works vehicles in a year when we are again deficit spending. A better practice may be for the board to review a draft budget before approving capital expenditures, since the budget constraints can delay or cut expenses. You can find some savings in some of the other overestimated expenses like the water distribution system, sidewalk maintenance, travel and meetings, streetscape improvements of $306,000, five times what we spent last year and the three-year average. I'm not sure what those projects are, except maybe the street cameras, the Harlem Viaduct, and the EV charging. Are those really streetscape improvements? Ambulance revenues budgeted at $2 million are budgeted at $2 million, and it's shocking the village makes a profit off these fees charged to sick and elderly, but it is a profit center for the last several years. Page 94, you might look at the first goal. I think it's miswritten there. And I request that you consider these items and alter the budget before you approve it. Regarding communications, very quickly, the April 26th newsletter mentions quarterly events with the village president to get answers and provide feedback about village operations and initiatives. The timing is interesting after over 200 residents attended this last ZBA meeting on zoning changes, many of which were against, and six board members voted against those. I question whether such events should be held at a village vendor's place of business. Over the last 11 years as president, residents have had many questions and want feedback. Thank you.
Good. I welcome all. All right. Thank you, Margie. So we'll go to the next. Any other citizen comment? Okay, very good. I'm going to move on to the next item, which before maybe we get in. Do you want to do the your comments, or do you want to do police officers? Yeah. But why don't we go ahead?
Yeah,
let's do the police officer. I think that's a nice thing to do. So right. I welcome the chief to the award to the 2024 award.
Madam President, Village Board, and Administrator Walsh, on behalf of the Police Department, I'm honored to welcome Marty Dozen, who's here before us this evening, to receive the River Forest Police Department's Officer of the Year Award for year 2023. I would also like to welcome Marty's wife, who's here this evening, and also Marty's wife, Bailey, and daughter, Kennedy. And we also have his parents, Kara Thorpe and Matt Dozen, who's here this evening. We also have his brother, Patrick, that's with us, and also his in-laws, Don Julitz and Rick Pearson. I've never met them before, so they could have been in the audience.
Good stuff.
They will be. Officer Marty Dozen grew up in Wheaton and attended Bennett Academy in Lyle, where he played football and basketball all 4 years. Marty received all conference and all area honors in both sports and was named team MVP in both sports during his senior year. Officer Dozen attended California State University, San Bernardino, where he was a member of the baseball team. Marty graduated from Cal State with his degree in business administration. Officer Dozen was hired by the River Forest Police Department in December of 2021, which was 1 week after graduating college. It's pretty good for a college graduate to know what you want to do one week after. The Officer of the Year Committee met on March 6th of 2024 this year. The nominations submitted this year were for Officer Marty Dozen, Mark Catalano, Eddie Coleman, Anthony Cortez, and Paul Micah. Tonight, we are honored to announce that Officer Marty Dozen has been named Officer of the Year 2023. The nomination described Officer Dozen as a self-motivated individual who consistently demonstrated superior performance in both criminal and traffic-related investigations. Officer Dozen displayed a high level of aptitude in the areas of wellness and physical fitness. Officer Dozen completed over 450 traffic stops in 2023 and led the department in criminal arrests. On June 9, 2023, Officer Dozen responded to the Sheridan at 800 North Harlem in reference to a resident who was actively choking. Officer Dozen performed life-saving measures, including a Heimlich maneuver. Officer Dozen was successful in his efforts, and the object was dislodged, allowing for the resident to begin breathing again. The fire department arrived on scene and transported that resident to the hospital for minor treatment. Officer Dozen has been reported by his peers, always come to work with a positive attitude and serves the village of River Forest with distinction. Officer Dozen was described also as having a pragmatic demeanor and a high level integrity, which makes him a reliable asset to the department and also to the community. Officer Dozen will attend a law enforcement memorial in Springfield in May of 2024 as a representative for the village of River Forest. Marty? Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's congratulations.
Thank you.
Nobody cares.
Madam President, do we have time for a poll?
Yes, of course.
Or the mentor.
Of course.
And Marty?
Yes.
You guys want to come forward for a group photo? Yep.
We always do this when the chief's all dressed up and looking good.
Matt, you're not coming in for this one?
I'm going to get flattered.
I'm sure everybody may not film for a second.
Thank you very much.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much. We'll now go ahead and ask the elected officials to say a few words about comments. So I'll start with Trustee O'Connell.
Okay, a couple things tonight. First of all, as was laid out in the newsletter on Friday, happy to report after a lot of time spent with Whole Foods that they have finally signed their deal and they've expanded. They're going to be expanding 7,000 square feet into the old rally space. We also, in conversations with the leasing company, there's one or two food users that are looking over there, potentially a soft food user. So those are all good signs for our economic development. Had an opportunity to attend a couple of events this past couple of weeks. I was able to pop into the bike exchange a couple Saturdays ago. Seems like I think Trustee Gills will give an update on everything, but it seemed like a great event. It was a beautiful day for it. Also had the opportunity to attend the Thrive Benefit, which is, again, an organization that supports our community and other communities. It's their annual fundraiser. I think they did a great job with that. They raised a lot of money, and if anybody's interested, I'm sure they would be happy to take additional donations. And lastly, if you've been to the Jewel lately or not, we're in the middle of Misericordia Candy Days. They have Misericordia has teamed up with Jewel, and Jewel is taking change from customers. But you can go on the Misericordia site and also donate to Misericordia, again, another great organization that serves ours and other communities. And lastly, Memorial Day Parade's coming up. Look forward to it.
Yep. Memorial.
I actually have no comments, just also tell about the Memorial Day Parade.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Katie? Yep, a couple comments. Well, first, I wanted to thank Public Works for their work in the delivery of the finished compost. It's that time of season for those who have signed up to for the curbside composting program. And also for curbside composting, the schedule has changed back to weekly pickups of compost, which is nice for those of us who generate a lot of compost.
Yeah.
Then I wanted to thank D90's Green for Good team that held a polystyrene pickup and recycling event about a week ago. I believe this is the first time that they've done this, and they received polystyrene, commonly known as by the brand name Styrofoam, from about 50 households, which is really good considering that I don't think it was publicized that much in advance. So if we publicize that this is an annual event, which I hope it will be, people will hold on to this, the polystyrene, not put it in the regular trash in anticipation of being able to dispose of it in the best way possible if you're going to have it through this event next year. And then I wanted to also mention something that was on the material that the D90 gave out when you went through the recycling of the polystyrene, and that is that DART Container Corporation in North Aurora accepts polystyrene 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So if you miss the event and you still have polystyrene and you don't want to keep it in your garage for a year, then that's, I know people who combine households worth of polystyrene and drive one car out to Aurora to get rid of it that way during the year. Then the last thing is that I wanted to say that we are continuing apace with planning the Juneteenth flag raising here in River Forest. I want to thank Matt for meeting with us and Ken and Erica for their work in getting the DEI volunteers involved, and also the library, our partner in that event. We've had meetings with them, and I wanted to thank them for putting the event in their mailing that went out to all the households. And we're very excited because just today we had a musical participant book. So we're now going to have a musical aspect to that program. Very excited about that. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Katie. Any information? John?
Nothing to add. Thanks.
Fred?
Well, good evening. Just one item. Kathy and I attended the Illinois Municipal League Lobby Day in Springfield on April the 17th. Although there are a number of pending legislative bills that are obviously interesting for most municipalities, there were two really that were hot. One was the grocery tax of that elimination that most municipalities were obviously fighting and lobbying against that happening, but it looks like the possibility it's going to go through. And what the governor was saying is that municipalities, they may make an amendment so municipalities can pass their own grocery sales tax. But our point was, why change it if we're already collecting it? Now, there is a little, one say maybe a coincidence, that if this currently, as it's a state tax, the state of Illinois does not charge, they just distribute the appropriate funds or revenues to the municipality. If this gets converted to a local tax, then the state will still collect it, but they tack on an administrative fee. And with that, they're projecting that the state will collect $5 million just on the administrative fee of distributing the grocery tax to municipalities who choose to legislate it locally. Not very good. The other thing, though, is the, of course, the local government distributive fund is still, should have been at 10%, and municipalities are still fighting to get it up to 10%, and is at least the current rate is at 6.47. So municipalities are still fighting for it. So we'll give it a good haul, and I know Kathy might say a little more, but she attended a couple of the sessions as well, and went to one of the public hearings. So, but that's it.
Okay, thank you, Russ. Lisa.
All right. Yes, just to remind everybody, I just had this in my mail, but hazardous waste collection, sad time of year. Well, everybody's excited about it, but you have to request by Friday, May 31st, and then you'll get a kit in the mail, like, because you really need to dispose of this the proper way. And LRS will provide you the information about how to dispose of it. So it's hard to shoot a fact that in the mail, it went all for residents. So take advantage of that. Second is tomorrow, our final presentations of the of recommended climate action plan to be made by UIC students. At UIC, we have two classes that we're actually working on. So recommended approaches to how we can really elevate what we're doing now for sustainability. Our focus right now is more strategic plan, taking it to the next level to a climate action plan. So I look forward to kind of hear what the students say. It's great to have two different classes, so different points of view. Working on it, and yes, the River Forest Bike Exchange fourth year. It was in the Wednesday Journal. Really great program started by a resident, continues to be run by residents and volunteers. Thank you to the police that from River Forest who came and did register bicycles. We did register 85 bikes, which is 45 from the last year, so we doubled the amount of bikes. It's a really, really amazing program. It was a beautiful day. And we look forward to year five next year. It's already on the books. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi Nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. So excited about the Juneteenth events going on, and definitely keep an eye out. We will begin to add them to our calendar as well, but Dominican University always does some wonderful things as well that are just extremely thought-provoking. So if you are available, I would suggest going to that. And also want to remind folks that the Inclusion and Pride Walk that Lincoln School does in coordination with the Village of River Forest, and the flag raising will be happening on, I think it's Monday, June 3rd, and starts here at our flag post. Raise the flag and then walk around the block of Lincoln School. And we always get hundreds of folks out every year. It's bigger and bigger. And just thank you, Matt, and the entire village for all your support for that. And really looking forward to that. So put that on your calendars.
Great. All right. Thanks, Erica. Well, just a few things. First of all, congratulations again to Marty and your family. Thank you for being here. Thank you for everything you do. So on behalf of the Board of Trustees and myself, we are grateful for you and for all police department that does great work for us here in River Forest. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
So some other fun stuff before I get into the more serious stuff. I was able to give a little presentation to the Daisy Scouts of Willard School. Daisies are like first graders, second graders. So it's very interesting to present how government works to those kids, but they really listen and they're really, really a lot of fun to spend time with. If anybody, I know a lot of you guys all read Facebook, but there's a lot of good posts out there regarding our police department handing out nice certificates to River Forest Chocolates for those kids that actually are wearing helmets. And so it's a great encouragement. Thank you to the police officers that, you know, stop the kids who wear the helmets and give them a River Forest Chocolate, get something free from River Forest Chocolates, which is great. And also we handed out 17 helmets to the Daisy Scouts, brand new helmets, so that we could encourage everybody to wear helmets. And that's, again, an initiative that the police department under Jim and his team has performed. It's been great, and the community loves it. So thank you again on behalf of the board. So just a couple of things, as Rez said, We did go down to Springfield, Navi Day. It was quite interesting and eyes wide open. I did personally meet with the governor with four other mayors, including Mayor Skaman from Oak Park. And our budget, it's serious. There's nothing funny about the budget, and the grocery tax is real. And I have complete faith in Rosie and her team and Matt and his team regarding our budget and how we look at our budget, both from revenue and expenses. In fact, we continue to win the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award by the Government Finance Officer Association, which is a high mark saying that we are doing good stuff and our budget is well prepared. Again, the grocery tax is real. We have to figure that out as we move forward. The pension fund tier two changes are real, which could affect our budget in the long run. And the local distribution, local government distribution fund, and the lack thereof of getting to back to our 10% is a real issue, and it has direct effect on our budget. And I will have anybody that wants it. These are pages that Illinois Municipal League puts out. That's called 2024 Proposed State Mandates. And that is the state mandates legislatively, bills that affect local municipalities both negatively and positively. These happen to be negatively. And there's about, I don't know, 8 pages of them. So you can certainly go through these state mandates and you can see for yourself that some of the issues that this board deals with is real stuff and we take it very serious. Here's another book that I certainly like anybody to look over. It's called Preemptions. If anybody doesn't know what a preemption is, it's actually taking away our authority to do something. And that has as much an effect on our budget as state unfunded state mandates. So I'll leave this here for anybody that's willing to read it. It's good reading. We got a lot of work ahead of ourselves, but again, I'm very confident in where we are. So thank you, Matt. Thank you, Rosie and Kiki, for all your great work. That's all I have.
Oh, can I just say one more thing about that? Maybe a couple of those issues that are directly affecting River Forest, we could put in our communications along with the representatives that important. So
great
I would say Chris Welch, because Lobby Day is a great day. You know, all these different organizations go to Springfield on certain days to lobby, but you don't have to go to Springfield. Making just a phone call into your representatives, making a phone call into us, we take those very seriously, right? Or our notes. And I know for sure in Springfield, they tally those because I've talked to them about it. And that's sometimes how they make their decisions, is how many of their residents are interested and wanting them to go yay or nay on a certain topic. So maybe that's something we could do.
Great idea. And we will do that because there are some that there's also others that are overarching, as you know, but you're right.
Yeah, maybe right. Whatever you feel is appropriate.
Sounds good. Erica. Yeah. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. And so we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda.
Can I ask that we pull items 5C and 5F, please?
5C and 5F. Yep, sure.
Thank you. Actually, the special guest here.
Okay, go ahead and pull that. Do you want to pull that up? Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So we're going to pull C, D, and F.
C, D.
Yeah, C, D, and F. All right, so if I can get an approval for A, B, E, G, H, I, and J.
I move that we approve the consent agenda items 5A, B, E, G, H, I, and J.
Second.
Okay, very good. So why don't we talk first on, I'm sorry. Any questions on that? We've got a vote. Any questions on those items? If not, if you could take the vote and obviously read the item.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, April 8th, 2024. B, administration department report. E, right-of-way agreement, property owners at 553 Thatcher Avenue for an underground sprinkler system in the public right-of-way. G, approval of contract, Decon Computer Consultants, Village IT Consulting Services. H, amendments to Chapter 9-6-9 of the River Forest Village Code, Schedule of Fines and Penalties, Vehicular Violations Ordinance. I, approval of collective bargaining agreement with International Association of Firefighters, IAFF, for firefighters and fire lieutenants. J, adoption of fiscal year 2024 through 2025 compensation plan ordinance. Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Sorry, Mr.
Okay. Very good. So let's go move on to 5Cs. If I can get a motion to approve 5C in a second.
I move to approve the proclamation designating May 5th through May 11th, 2024 as Compost Awareness Week.
Second.
So I ask that we progress, and I appreciate this proclamation and its explanation of all the benefits of compost. And I'll also mention one of the most important benefits is the reduction in CO2 gases by pulling compost out of the landfill trash.
Okay.
This proclamation reminded me that when we were negotiating the latest trash pickup contract with LRS, we talked about converting our curbside compost program to an opt-out program. And we talked about doing that at that time, especially if we saw that there was an increase in residents who were subscribing to the paid compost program. I have heard anecdotally that the subscriptions to compost has, the compost program have risen.
Yeah.
The idea to shift our compost pickup to an opt-out program was recommended by our Sustainability Commission. And I would ask that we raise this again and ask the State Sustainability Commission if they would, you know, refresh that recommendation. And I'd like to see that at the board. I think now is the time for this.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it. I mean, I agree. We can readdress it. In terms of having an opt.
And going back to the discussions with LRS, they said that they were willing to discuss it with us. My understanding is that the numbers have increased. I don't think it's based on that necessarily, but I think it helps. It shows the increased interest.
Were they for it, right? Right?
Yes, they were happy to do it.
To it, right. Yeah, I think the question was our residents ready? But yeah, sure. Right.
So would the process be then to, I don't care, is the process to ask the Sustainability Commission to take a fresh look at this and provide us with a recommendation, or just to go straight to LRS to start the discussions? What would be the right way to go about doing this?
I think we could kind of run them parallel and have the discussion with the Sustainability Commission to get their input on how the progress has been with the subscription, and then we can also reach out to LRS to see if they're still willing and able to do that.
I would recommend that you bring LRS into the Sustainability Commission and have it work together, and then come back with a combined agreement that this is working on.
Well, I, in my opinion, I'd like to hear what the Sustainability Commission's recommendation is first.
Okay.
And once we have that what we want nailed down, then we start the discussions with LRS. That's just what seems to land with me better, rather than bringing LRS right away. Let's figure out what we want first.
Okay.
And how we want it to go. It's probably pretty straightforward. We're not the first municipality to want or to have an opt-out curbside compost program.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, we can do that. And if we say we need to put LRS in the discussion, then we'll have a discussion with that. If they say we can make that discussion. Okay. So you want this pulled? You want the
No, this proclamation just reminded me that now is the time to discuss it. We said when we renegotiated that agreement, I can't really remember why we didn't make it opt out. I was disappointed about that. It felt like we'd had plenty of lead time to build it into that contract, but in the end, we ran out of time somehow. So now I'm bringing it back up because this proclamation reminded me about it, and I think now is the time.
Yeah.
So I let's pass the proclamation. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Okay. It seems pretty straightforward. Okay. Any other comments on C? Okay. Hearing none, that's if you.
Is there a motion and second?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll read it and then.
Yeah.
Consent agenda item C, proclamation designating May 5th through May 11th, 2024 as Compost Awareness Week. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Okay, good suggestion. Okay, so item D, this is the National Therapy Animal Day Proclamation. If I can get a motion and second.
I can make a motion to approve consent agenda item D, National Therapy Animal Day Proclamation.
Second.
Okay, very good. Susan, our.
Yeah, I just pulled it because we do have a guest here.
Yes.
So you have Susan and her dog, Bo, her dog.
Oh.
Susan basically asked that we, you know, consider this proclamation. National Therapy Day is tomorrow, so you're able to bring it in on time. And I don't know, Susan, if you have any.
Well, Bo is very sad that his friends and officers left because we visit the River Forest, among others. We visit the River Forest once a month for a little stress relief. But we also visit. We go to the Heinz VA hospital and we're at the Oak Library, we're at the Berlin Library, we've been at the River Forest Library. I'm trying to get us into the elementary schools here. We're not there yet. But we really appreciate it. We've lived in River Forest for 22 years and we're over on park here on the other side of the tracks. But this is Bo, he is 6 years old. He's been a therapy dog for 25 years. He loves it. Every time he sees me get the vest out, he's like, yes. Right. Like, you know, people pet me and give me treats, like how bad could that be? And in any case, thank you so much. We really appreciate the proclamation. And we've most people don't know necessarily about therapy dogs and how much good they can do just by hanging out with both individuals. So thank you very, very much.
Can both come to our meetings?
Thank you. We might need multiple bowls.
Doing this for a long time, correct?
We've been doing this for 2.5 years.
Okay.
We're part of two organizations. We are certified pet partners, which is a national organization that registers. You have to go through a bunch of training and stuff. And we're right now training to go to the top level, which is to go visit crisis intervention, that dual crisis intervention. You know, we're not certified to do that. Bo and I aren't certified to do that at this point. But we hope you will be at some point.
Yeah, my child visited at the River Forest Library, maybe when they were 3 years old, and now they're 16. So the River Forest Library has been very wonderful.
They haven't had anybody there for a while. We're trying to get a program reestablished.
It's really bad.
So if it helps to love it, when kids it won't read to a person because they're like insecure about their ability to move or like it or they're shy, they'll read to him all day and he absolutely loves it. And if they don't show him the pictures, he takes his paw and puts it on their arm, you know, starts to turn around and show him some pictures in the book. So
yeah, what a cutie. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention and giving us the opportunity to make everybody else aware of it. So
well, thank you. It's a stress
relief. Can I help you? Thank you. All right. Well, now let's vote it in.
Consent agenda item D, National Therapy Animal Day Proclamation. Trustee Brennan.
I want to thank you for everything you're doing. Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay. And the last one is the F. So if I can get a motion to approve item F.
Motion to approve item F, contract approval, Nexamp Solar LLC, Community Solar Anchor Account.
Second.
So I pulled this. I'm intrigued. It's the first time that I have seen this contract. And it's the first time I've seen a contract of this type with the village. So I think I'm generally in favor of it, but I have some questions. I don't know. Are you the one who would be answering the questions, Matt?
Yes, I wasn't able to attend. So, okay. Yes.
So,
Lance and his team also reviewed the contract.
Excellent. So can I just go ahead and start with my questions?
Sure, sure.
Okay. First, I'm wondering if I understand correctly how this contract works.
Which is not, which is somewhat complex.
So my understanding is that it covers four things of the village: public works, mm-hmm. street lighting, alley lighting, and then for some inexplicable reason, Madison Street lighting is separated off. So covers those four things.
I think that's right.
Okay. Yes, the Madison Street lighting, when the streetscape was done on Madison Street back in 2016, that was created as a separate account with ComEd.
Huh. Okay, thanks. And then, my understanding is that what happens is that every month, NextCamp is going to give us a 10% worth of the bill in credits. And then NextCamp is going to invoice us for 90% of the usage, the value of the usage. And then River Forest is going to pay the invoice for the 90% of the usage. So we essentially save 10% every month.
On our payments, right?
Right.
Right. And then how do the residents see those cost savings? How does that show up for residents? Like, I actually pulled my ComEd, an old ComEd bill of mine that shows franchise cost on here, mm-hmm. which I think is the amount that each resident pays to cover a percentage or to cover these costs of the municipality's electricity. Mm-hmm. So how does this show up in real life for a resident?
Sure. So the Village Hall and the Public Works Garage on Forest Avenue are covered by the franchise agreement. So those two accounts are not eligible for this program. This program only applies to the village's four other accounts, which are the pump station up on Berkshire and those alley, streetlight, and Madison Street sites. So it's a separate group of accounts than what the franchise agreement covers.
Thank you. How does the village pay for these four things right now?
In our budget, there's a utility line item that will pay to ComEd. The pumping station, for example, is going to be in our water and sewer fund, but the most of these will be in our public works budget as just a utility line item cost. So that savings will be seen on those line items.
Okay, so we'll see it as a savings in our budget. The residents aren't going to see it on their bills.
Correct.
Because the residents don't pay for those four things right now.
We do.
Gotcha. Well, I guess we pay for it in a less direct way.
Yeah, more direct.
A different way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, and then how are NextAmp's rates tied to ComEd's rates? How do we know that NextAmp's not going to raise its rates higher than ComEd's to recoup its 10% loss? Loss in quotes.
That is a good question.
I don't know if this contract covers it. That's a highly regulated area, utility costs.
So we're sort of going from one vendor. I mean, I want us to use local community solar. I just want to make sure this is a 20-year contract. It's very rare to see a 20-year contract. Our waste contract is either 5 or 7 years.
Right.
So when we lock into something for 20 years, a lot can happen at 20 years. There can be a lot of advances in solar technology and wind technology and other technologies. I think I'm for this, but I want to make sure I know what I'm looking at here. Right. well.
There might be protection in there.
One thing I saw was 2% credit escalation. I don't know what that means. It's on page 38. Does that somewhat answer my question? I don't even know what the, what credit escalation means.
Matt, is there a is there a deadline that this is tied to at all? Maybe we can revisit this with some of those questions answered.
Well, I would, yeah, I mean, we can always do that, of course. I think I would also, based on what 20 years, say, do we have an out on the project?
I did not see much of an opt-out for River Forest on this contract.
Yeah, there isn't much, but there's not much of a way to enforce the length of a contract of this type against the village with a changing board.
Huh. Yeah, but I don't know if that's how we want to manage them.
I would need to look. I would need to look at the termination. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to manage it,
I would need to look at the termination provisions beyond the contract adjustments.
All right.
Well, I like the idea of this contract. I'm concerned about being locked in for 20 years. For example, like we're not going to get solar on our streetlights probably, but we could have a solar array at the pumping station that could actually be a better cost savings for us. And I know we have some small, like Daisy, so small array there right now, or we're going to be putting it in shortly.
It's included in the budget, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, things are happening in this field. And I understand that they want us as, or the thought is to have us as an anchor account. I assume that's something like a beta test. You got to have so many anchor accounts to make the thing work. I just want to make sure this works for us, too.
Yeah. And here we can pull it. I just asked Katie, maybe in the future, you can help us know what those issues are so that either we say, here's your answers, or you're right, we need to go back and renegotiate.
This is the first time I've seen this.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've heard of this contract was, you know, when this packet came out. So when I got a chance to look at it. And I would think that for something like that, that we've never had, something that we've never had before, that maybe it wouldn't be in the consent agenda. It would be, specifically on our agenda to discuss so that we can educate ourselves about what this is and how it works.
Yeah, I think you put it on the consent agenda simply because we thought that was a good idea and it was a good for reinforce, but there are some legitimate questions we'll need to look at it so we can easily take it off. And I would ask that any other trustees that have any other questions regarding this contract, let us know. I mean, let Matt know.
Yeah, we'll take a look at those. We did look at it. We went back to them. There was a little bit of back and forth. There was some hesitancy to move on some items, but we'll.
Thank you. And did the Sustainability Commission review this and give a recommendation for it?
So I thought so.
No, this was just administrative staff driven. They had reached out to offer it. We saw it as an opportunity we found out that the savings were for those four accounts and we just proceeded as such. So now the Sustainability Commission did not.
That'd be a good idea to have their eyes. Again, I'm generally in favor of this. I think it's a good idea in general. Sure. Devil's always in the details.
Yeah. Well, I think going to the Sustainability, I mean, they've got other things. I don't know. I think we let it go administratively. It's a good thing, like you said. It needs some fine tuning. And let's make it, Katie made your point. There's some things that we need to look at. You have good points. So we'll do it.
Yeah. Do you want to withdraw the motion then, or what?
I think you should. I think, it's probably the best thing to do. And then we'll take a look at it. And administratively, let's look at what issues that have to protect us.
Trustee Gillis, will you withdraw your motion?
Sure. Is there any particular wording on this piece in my withdrawal?
No,
just you do.
I move to withdraw my motion.
If this is not like a zoning matter, we don't need to table it. It would be certain we could bring it back
when you're ready.
The answer.
Okay. So we agree that we'll just try to can't handle it administratively.
Yeah.
All right. All right, very good. So I think that concludes our consent agenda items. And we'll move to new business. Got a motion here? So if I get a motion, okay, sorry. Yep, thanks. So we have the Park District here. Dennis and Mike?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us. I'm Dennis.
Side one?
No.
Just down.
My name is Dennis Healy. I'm currently the treasurer on the park board. We're here to present to you the Constitution Park project. Pretty exciting project. We've been discussing the park's master plan for the last 18 months. Constitution Park is the first one we are hoping to bring out, which would hopefully take place next year. Two very exciting parts is the playground will now be 100% inclusive. We will also be adding a standalone bathroom with a different shelter. So, Mike's going to show you the element.
So, you know, so I'll bring you a walk through the project with everybody we're at right now with it. So, as Dennis said, you've been going through master plan over the last 18 months. Constitution Park is one of the projects. Some of the projects we're moving forward, some we haven't decided on yet. You know, Wednesday we'll talk about Keystone, elements of that for another discussion, but this one would be the first. Originally started moving forward because we were trying to capture an OSLAC grant. We did apply for, did not receive it. We know why we didn't get it. We feel we have an excellent chance next year, so we'll be reapplying for it. Started this process now. One's not contingent on the other. Just want to get ahead, so we do get the OSLA, we do quick round forward. So this is an estimated budget of $1.6 million. Again, we're hoping the OSLA will be the first $600,000. That's $300,000. This is an upgrade project. As Dennis said, the new item that is the reason we're here is putting in a shelter with a bathroom combo. So change of use, that would be it. Everything else is going to be rearrangement, realignment, improvements to the facility itself. So here is the existing site plan of the park. You can see the playground in the, I'm going to do it bottom left corner. We have a 5 to 12-year-old playground over there, about 17 years old. So it's in its useful life. To the top of the park, you see sand volleyball, ice rink area that was created about 10 years ago when we built in the Willard Bowl. To keep the ice rink going up there, it is lit. So we have two poles there. And I'll talk about reusing those as we redevelop the park. When you go back down, you can see the ball field to the bottom right. That is on District 90 property, but we do manage that within an agreement. So our goal is to pull that back on park site. And then you can see the layout for the soccer field. Size configuration always changes depending on use and where. So give you a couple pictures of what it says right now. So this is a picture of the playground that we have. In the foreground is 5 to 12, in the background is to the 5-year-old playground. Here's our sand volleyball court, ice rink. So we do have two sand volleyball courts and an ice rink. Mother Nature hasn't been as cooperative yet here. I think we've got about 8 days on. So we'll keep offering it as long as nothing's been on it. Here's the soccer field that you saw. Again, it's a 7-versus-7 field. So it's a younger age group than we use right now. And then the ball field. I don't even know how old the ball field. I know it's over 25 years old. So it's without a doubt our oldest ball field that we have, and it's the only ball field we have not done any improvements with. So
So here is the site plan. We're working with JSD land planners. We've also held multiple public meetings last August and September on this. So we already got a lot of public feedback. We followed the plan development process, the mailings, that we will do that again as we start this process. So feedback was very positive. Most of the energy in those meetings was focused on the design of the playground and getting it closer and closer to being a universal accessible playground versus what the original plans were. Very little other comments on it. And again, we had somebody commenting just on their memorial trees that they have planted up there, so we sure that we're not intact by the project. So you'll see here, we did move the ball field onto our park, basically just reversed it over. The playground is moving out to the it's the corner of Greenfield National now instead of Greenfield. It's not Franklin. So the playground is no closer to the street versus the location. Sand volleyball has been slightly, it's been turned 90 degrees in this situation. It's the same size as what's out there right now. And then, as Dennis alluded to, in the middle, you have a sitting plaza and then a shelter with the bathrooms in it. Do you have a question?
Oh, no. I was just finding the Lower Dunmer Elementary to give myself a reference. Sorry.
No laser on this.
Lord's down.
Yeah. Right. So there is a city plaza in the middle. You kind of see that circle by that triangle. That's a tree and a planting there. And then benches facing both amenities for use. And then benches would be wrapped around the playground. The playground would be rubber surfaced. So it would be completely wheelchair accessible. So we're very deliberate about that. Doesn't show on this, and the reason we didn't show it is because this is part of our OSLAC application. Where the ball field was, that soccer field that you saw in the previous pictures, 7-7, is moving over the D90 property. So we've already had an agreement with them on that. We just can't show it because it is within our boundaries. So that will be part of the project. It's just not under the funding for the OSLAC application. So we've got a couple pictures. So here's the renderings of the playground. It is The previous playground was a 2-5 to 5-12-year-old playground. Now, because it's a universal accessible playground, everything meshes together. So it's one large playground, got a large modular component, swings, a lot of fun things for kids. There's the opposite view, musical instruments. There is no tot and regular swings in the unit too. And then this is conceptual of the shelter. The only difference is that cupola on top would not be there. We're still working on it. It probably be wood with the stone base. We're still working on that. Again, at the end, you can see the two bathrooms and then a small storage closet for utilities. Hot water heater, a unit for our lightning detection system. We're looking for the cameras at the parks, so that would have to be, the controls would have to be like that. The shelter itself is 20 by 20, so we're holding on 6 picnic tables, not an extraordinary amount of people, but the good use that we can use for programming or community music for normal events. So again, we do have an agreement with D90. They're aware of this project. They have supported it. We give a letter of support that green space that would be created for the ball field would now be used as a soccer field. Trees. So we do have a couple trees that have to be removed, a couple larger ones. So you can see we have 3 fair quality locuses and 1 good quality maple that would need to be removed. There's also a smaller good quality maple that we'll be able to transplant. Those would be where the location of the ball field will be moved to. And then at the playground location, we have a couple of poor quality ones. One is a one of our memorial trees, so we're placing that as part of the process. Anyway, so we're calculating about 88 inches of diameter
that would be need to be added to the project as a result of the trees. And just the locus on their fair quality, their life is short term here, you know, we're both removals of locus.
Mike, are those trees going to be replaced in that back into that park, or
we
would say the park system somewhere else?
So our goal always with these projects is as much as we can get in the park that it's at, and then if we have to spill over somebody else, we so the new trees, you know, they're going to be 3-3.5 inch trees. So we'll talk 25 trees probably out of this. So there would be, especially over where Willett has its parking lot, we can do a lot of plantings over there. So the old playground's removed, there's going to be a lot of plantings being brought back in there. So as much as we can get into the park, we'll be putting back in.
So Mike, yeah, which is a great thing, but you know, I think you and I have had some conversations about some trees that have been planted like in the Priory. I mean, they just don't make it and they die consistently.
Right.
I don't know if it's the kind of tree that you plant or when you plant it, I don't know, but.
Well, I think, you know, we're losing trees and a lot of that's just soil condition, like Priory, you know.
Can we do something about that, like bring in better soil?
As we're replacing them now, we make bigger holes with more soil amendments, you know.
Seems to me you're spending a lot of money on trees that die and then replant and it dies again. So I don't know.
Well, the majority of trees are still making it through. You know, obviously, like you said, we do lose trees.
Yeah.
So.
Just the observation.
Yeah. No, I understand. I agree with you. We can do everything we can to.
Yep.
Yep.
Is there a different, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, question.
Is there a different kind of tree that you're using? So like, we're taking away a maple, are we putting back maple or?
So we have a tree memorial program that we like outline about 10 trees that we like. We're really trying to go with higher quality trees, like oaks, ginkgo. We're trying to stay away from, we don't really like focus, ash, any fast growing dying ones. Maple certainly would be one that would be replaced if we saw that.
And with last.
So anything we're doing, we're always trying to do better. So in this case, we could take out 3 locusts. We would not be putting any locusts back in. It would all be oak, elm, disease resistant elm, maple, ginkgo trees, little trees, sycamore, or hardier or hardwood plants.
Can you remind me for the locusts, because I'm not great on tree varieties. Are those the smaller ones on that field where like kids climb into?
The 3 locust trees are over by the ball field. They're larger trees
okay.
Right now, right? So they're 20
Okay, so like over by Greenfield, there are ones where the kids can kind of get into.
They're over by Franklin, by the baseball field.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a shade area of like 4 trees, and that's the ones that are being impacted by the future.
I just had 3 quick questions. One, with regard to the bathroom, is that just a general standalone bathroom that you can use any time?
It'll look real similar to what we have in Washington right now, okay. 2 single bathrooms, single fixture in the center.
All right, and then the second question was with regard to the shelter, are you expecting residents to try to rent that out for whatever there?
We would be offering it as some type of, I mean, our residents would get it for free if we have a permit out for. All right.
So they wanted to use it for some type of picnic, family picnic.
Oh, sure.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay, and then the third is just given the school construction timelines, I know you're waiting for funding, right, as far as like, what would you predict all this would occur? Like, when would you?
We would be like to break ground, I believe we scheduled May 15th to June 1st next year. A lot of it's contingent on how fast NASLED announces that typically do it in late January. That would be just enough time. Really, we're on hold with design. I can't do anything because of that grant. That's not reversible then. So there's ways to cheat the system and we can be ready that we get bids out quickly and get things by April.
Would you expect school to be out at that time or not?
Yes, we would be working around D90 to make sure
whatever apex that we would have been with. We maybe start with demo, you know, until we get a better handle on design and bidding. But it would be around June 1st as well.
Yes. Your slides up here, right? There's no change to the Olympic department. It seems like there's a change in this here. Have you talked to the residents about our situation out there?
Well, we've had multiple meetings, and that was not a concern with all the meetings.
And
we do have picnic tables there now. Most of them are just going under shelter now.
And then my other question is, have you worked with engineering on, you know, bathrooms and outlets, you know, potential retention, and nothing's really changing in that aspect?
We have not had any engineering discussions on this. We're not anticipating any like NWRD grant solutions. It didn't sound like this would fall into that criteria. And if it did, it would be minimal, and we probably put it underground again.
Do we think that there's anything, because I know the existing volleyball area or part of that field, when it rains heavy, it feels like there's a large concentration of water that boils there. Is there any concern that would impact the play area? Now that that's being moved over and closer to where that big pond of water sort of happens?
No, well, with Sand Volleyball area right now, we have not noticed any water retention issues in there at all. That's
maybe I'm noticing the water from the place.
So, you know, because right now it's recessed down. And it would be continued to dying that way. So that sand, and then have a foot of sand on top of that. So whatever goes in there, at least on the playground perspective, that elevation,
yeah,
probably at least 2 feet below.
Okay. Yeah, just because it feels like it's closer to that part of it. So we want to make sure that wouldn't be impacted.
I mean, there is, when they go through, it's like the engineer, and we may end up putting in something. Drainage in there.
Yeah.
We found with the Willet Bowl, we didn't do it, we did the upgrades from Willet Bowl because the soil up there is very sandy and it's impervious right through.
Yeah.
That standing, not the same volleyball, it's sandy.
Everywhere.
I'm sorry, I have one more. So is the expectation, we're talking about the kids, to be honest. So is the expectation that, you know, fence off the area? I just would hate to see construction tools around there, your kids going around. And you would actually close the playground during a certain time, or how is it all going to work? Or you expect it to work that way?
Well, the playground would operate no different than how it is right now.
So you've got to make improvements, though.
Right, with the new playground, it's at a different corner, but the distance from the street is the same. And the use of the playground, and one playground, the use of the only difference is it's more immediately accessible.
Are you talking about construction?
I was going to say,
yeah.
Or are you talking construction? You're talking about during construction.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He was asking about the timeline.
Yes.
Right. So if we go into construction, the park probably closed during that period.
Is there temporary fencing around?
Yeah, everything would be fenced completely around.
Just like it was at Washington.
Yeah, the playground at Washington. In that case, we had chain link fence. The size of this probably would dictate more of the orange fence that we had to install. All right, and then one last thing, the traffic, right. Let's see, increase in traffic as a result of this. That's our introduction. We don't have any other questions?
No, I think it's a nice improvement. So Dennis and Park District and Mike, thank you for bringing it to us. I think it's going to be a good addition to our community.
Great, right. Thanks for hearing us.
Thanks. Mike, I want to say, I was at one of the resident meetings in August.
Yeah.
Because I am a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the notice and heard a neighbor speak very eloquently about making it more accessible. And inclusive. And so I appreciate that. It sounds like the Park District listened to that seriously and took that into consideration. And I think that was important. So I appreciate that.
Well, Commissioner Healy's been there.
You're still an advocate of it, which is good. So if I said to Dennis, thank you, you know, it's good to have an advocate on the park board. Okay. So.
See you in a couple months for my next project.
Yeah, all right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty, so, so we have item B, which is the adoption of our fiscal year 25 budget. If I can have a just motion, Ms., we'll have a second.
Motion to approve ordinance adopting the annual budget for the fiscal year commencing on the first day of May 2024 and ending on the 30th day of April 2025 for the Village of River Park, Illinois.
For a second?
Second.
Okay. Any questions for Rosie? I'm pretty much went through most of it. There are no questions about that.
I have a question.
Sure.
From the resident who spoke earlier about the lead service program, it sounds like we're condensing it into 5 years.
No. She said that. Go ahead, Rosie, answer.
Yeah. No, if you look in the budget, when you have a chance, if you look on page 62, you can see that it's a 20-year project, so it's $2 million over 20 years. It's a $40 million project. Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to reevaluate every year, but it's a 20-year project. So.
Okay, so I'm sorry, $2 million a year.
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years.
Yes.
$2 million is the estimated cost to replace about 200 service lines, which is the pace needed to replace all of the lines in River Forest. Mm-hmm. We hope that will come down as we get a more accurate inventory, but we wanted to at least start off on an aggressive pace to do so. So there's not a lot of room to lower that number currently. You certainly don't want to have to spend $2 million a year, but it's a mandate. It's a lot, thousands of service lines to replace.
Okay. And that puts us within the time frame that the state of Illinois requires us to finish it.
I think 2042.
Okay.
So, yes.
All right. So it's not condensed into 5 years. No.
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 Okay. And I have one. This, the amendment she was talking about on page 94, is that anything or?
I wrote down first goal miswritten.
Under admin's goals.
I have page 94.
Regarding collaborative efforts with the township and Concordia and other community partners to expand, implement the village's age-friendly and dementia-friendly initiatives. So she didn't say what was
first.
A little
misread.
Is there somewhere where that language is used somewhere else where maybe it's not exactly?
No.
Really, it sounds memory to work.
Right. In fact, I think that's referring to also the $10,000 that the township gets from the Sheridan every year for dementia. No. So.
I believe there was a line about the streetscape improvements I believe is all for the North Avenue streetscape design work.
Yeah, she was confused what the streetscape was.
Yes. You know, like I've said in the past, we budget conservatively with salaries. We budget based on contracts.
Yeah. So, all right. Super.
Yeah.
All right. I think I can give a vote. Thanks, Tom.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Sorry, made me laugh.
I know. That's good. All right, super. Well, that ends then our regular scheduled or our regular agenda. So I'll
On a motion.
Move to executive session.
Motion to enter an executive session pursuant to 5 Illinois CS 120, 5 QC 11 to discuss pending, probable, or imminent litigation, and the village board will adjourn if the executive session will not return to open session.
Second.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
President Odusi.
Yes.